Okay, I want to begin by thanking APHA for giving us the opportunity to come and talk a little bit today about the National Board of Public Health Examiners, NBPHE, as well as thank all of you for coming to listen to us talk a little bit about this organization that you may not know a great deal about. If you want to know more about it than I'm going to say in this presentation, then you should go to booth 563 in the convention center, and you can learn everything you would like to know about it. Also want to thank two organizations that provided financial support and other assistance to us. We had a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to do this work, and also ASPPH provided us with resources that are very, very helpful in completing this. The presentation objectives that we're going to try to accomplish are the following. We want to define a job task analysis. That may not be a term that you're familiar with. Its purposes in public health, describe how we conducted this analysis, describe the development of the survey and the survey respondents, and then perhaps most importantly, describe our preliminary results. So what I'm going to try to do in the 20-minute period here is to three things, really, to consider the structure and the development of the job task analysis, to talk about the characteristics of our population to convince you that it is indeed representative, and then finally to consider some of the results. What is a job task analysis, you're asking yourself? Perhaps might not be, as I said, a term you're familiar with. Basically, it's a survey to define the performance domains and tasks performed by a group of professionals and to assess their knowledge or skills associated with those tasks. And it really focuses very much on the tasks as are demonstrated here. And the important point here really is that what we're asking people is to tell us what they do on their job, not to tell us what they know or to tell us what they think they should be doing or, in their job, but what they actually do on their job. So that's the focus of any job task analysis. Virtually every group, public health or other health profession, has done a job task analysis. This is the first one that was ever done in public health. We are perhaps a little behind the curve, but we're catching up. And so we're very excited about the results of this and what we're able to do with the results with regard to the examination. And so we'll say a little bit more about that as we go along. So our purpose for this job task analysis is obviously to survey the domains and tasks that are associated with workers in public health positions, and to use this information then to help us refine the certification in public health examination. Our focus, because of the current criteria or eligibility criteria with regard to the exam, means that we're going to focus on folks with advanced degrees and some experience. There is a wider public health population of workers out there, but that's not where we're focused at the minute because of the nature of the exam and the eligibility for that exam. Another group that we really need to thank is a group that did yeoman's work, and you can kind of scan through all of these names. I'm not obviously going to read them to you. This was a committee that we put together to prepare this job task analysis. When they started in on this, it seemed like a very manageable task they would be able to do reasonably quickly. Turned out that was not true. It is a very intensive task, and we have to thank these folks. But if you look at the names on the list, you'll see that we had representatives from various areas, from the federal sector. We had private employers. We had local and state health departments, as well as academics. And indeed, the academics were not necessarily from the schools and programs, but rather other kinds of academics who might be hiring our individuals in the workforce. So this is a very diverse group to help us put together the examination, which is obviously important if we're going to have a good exam. This is the set of domains that was created by this group. We did fairly intensive literature review in order to begin to formulate these domains. We also, if you have some familiarity with some of the things that are going on in the profession, you will see that this is very similar to the Council of Linkages competencies. It is very similar to ASTO's knowledge, skills, and attitudes structure. It is also similar to the ASPPH Framing the Future Public Health Blue Ribbon Employers Group structure and the ASPPH report on the MPH degree. So we looked at these structures that already existed to help us to get an understanding of what was going on in public health as broad domains, and these were the domains that the committee selected at the end of that process. So after we decided to create this survey, how did we get it out into the public? Well, you can see, tried to reach out very, very broadly to almost 125,000 individuals, and we did it through 51 organizations. Primary among those organizations are the organizations that are listed here, not surprisingly, APHA, ASTO, NACHO, CDC, the health institutes. All of those were primary organizations and many, many others that helped us to distribute the survey. We encouraged people who we contacted to also, you know, send the survey linkage on to others who generally met the criteria that we were looking for. And so we did get very broad representation, as I'll show you in a minute. So what were we asking here? We developed a survey of 200 task items. Those items, as you will see in just a minute when you look at them, are not terribly complex, but they do take a bit of thought. It takes a while to go through 200 of these items. And each item, the individual was asked to respond to one of four categories. Either they never performed it on their job, or it was not very important to their job, or important, very important, or essential to their job. So they were responding in one of those four ways to each of these 200 items. Now, this next slide is, I understand, a little difficult to read, and so I'm going to tell you basically what it was. We just wanted to show you what the items in one of the domains was like. I will read a few of these to you if I can see them up here. This is the domain for collaborating and partnering. Three of the items were to engage key stakeholders in developing and problem solving within the community, develop collaborative partnership agreements with the stakeholders for specific projects, and to develop processes for managing the health programs. And so these were a variety of items that were included in this particular domain, but the domains did not necessarily have the same number of items in the 200. Some had more items, some had less items. This was our result in terms of responses. We got about 8,100 individuals starting the survey, about 7,400, 7,500 completed. That's a significant part of the survey. What turned out to be useful was about 4,900 of the surveys, and then what we were most interested in was the 4,400 or so individuals who were employed and who were not students at that point in time. So this obviously constituted the workforce that we were most interested in considering. Well, what was this group like? So this, you know, were we getting a diverse population here that would really represent public health among these 4,400 or so individuals who answered the survey in a way that was useful to us? And so this next couple of slides is going to show you something about what that population is like. The first is the gender distribution. Obviously, because public health is more females than males, we got significantly more females than males answering it. We got a fairly decent distribution on race and ethnicity. There are more white individuals than there are of other groups, but again, probably not distinct from public health, but a good representation of African-Americans, Hispanics, Asians, and other smaller groups within our population. What about degree? These are the degrees, and that's color-coded a little bit for you. The pink ones are the doctoral degrees, and the blue ones are the master's degrees. A couple of things that we know are true of public health. The MPH is the most typical degree. That's not surprising. And that was good. That's what we expected to come. But we got a wide variety of other degrees, both doctoral and master's degrees. And we know in public health that that is, in fact, the way the population is distributed. That is not unusual as a public health workforce. This next slide shows you the employment in terms of the employment setting as well as the employment levels. In terms of setting, again, was what we anticipated. The largest category is governmental individuals on the top line there. And then academics, these are not necessarily people, you know, working in schools that are teaching and doing academic work. Lots of our students go to work in academic settings doing epidemiological, biostatistical, behavioral kinds of activities in those settings. So we were representing those groups. Not-for-profits, significant number, as well as the clinical end of things, as well as business and corporations. And then with regard to level, we wanted that mid-level of public health workers. We weren't just shooting for entry level, and we certainly were not shooting for the highest level. We wanted that core public health workers who did have degrees and who did have some experience. And so that is the largest category here. So we were pleased that that happened. Then the next group is that senior kind of group, and then the entry-level group, and then good representation of consultants and clinicians as well, people in more specialized kinds of roles. So that tells you something about what our population was like, and we think that it's a good representation of the public health population with significant numbers of individuals, 4,400 or so that we have to work with as a body of respondents to this particular survey. So we're pleased with that. Gives us a very good starting point, we believe. So now let me turn to that last thing I said I was going to talk about, which is the most interesting thing probably for you, which is the results. You know, what did we find? What came out of this survey? And this is certainly the most general kind of a slide, and perhaps the most important slide in some way. And let me say, before I get into the specifics here, because I say this many times when I'm talking to people about this, these are preliminary results. As I'll say at the very end, there's more analysis to be done. I am not going to try to interpret these results for you. We are not there yet exactly in terms of interpretation. We will be trying to write some about this and provide more information. But this is preliminary, and I want to be very clear that that is the case. So what were the highest rated items? And what you see here is the means within each of the domains that you were we showed you earlier. So within each of these domains, this is the mean of the respondent scores to the tasks within that particular domain, as well as, so you're getting the mean there, the average, as well as the standard deviation. And so you can see that the means really come out where you would expect. They come out around the important category. They come around the middle category. So we get, you know, a reasonable distribution. You'd expect that not everybody was saying something was essential, and most people, not everyone was saying that it wasn't. But many people said that, yes, this was something that they did. Some did say it was essential. Some said it wasn't. So we're getting this distribution around the mean, which is what we expected. But we also have fairly significant standard deviations here. There is variation around these particular categories within the populations. And so that was good as well. We wanted to see whether that was there, and certainly that is there. So we're getting a variation of roles. And so as you'll see, we'll want to move on to breaking these down into somewhat more detailed categorizations. The highest ranking things here are those three categories at the top, which are the critical and strategic analysis, partnering and collaboration, and ethical issues. These are the most important items. And as I'll show you in just a minute, when we look at the specific tasks that came out, this is, I thought, very a very good result in a way, as you'll see when we look at the specific tasks. But we do need to break this analysis down a little bit, which we'll do for you in just a second. Here are the tasks, and you can read these, I think, a little bit better. In each case, We've indicated the domain that these items fall into, but I will summarize this for you. Six of them are in the critical and strategic analysis. Two of them are in ethics, and two of them are in collaborating and partnering. So those were the most, those are the items that came out with the most, the highest frequency in means in this particular case. It is important, I think, to note, you know, here that eight of the items, the ones that were in that category of strategic and critical analysis, as well as the ethical ones, all really focus on data collection and analysis, which seems to say that, in general, the highest and most frequent thing that was going on here was indications that there is evidence-based work. That's the work that these folks are doing. They're basing their work on evidence, which is, I think, the way we would like it to work. Quickly to go, to go through with you here, domains by degree. The question here is, does degree, in a sense, make a difference? And generally speaking, if you look at this, what you can see is that there really isn't that much difference whether you have an MPH degree or a DRPH degree. You're basically doing generally the same work without a lot of differences. There are some minor, you know, variations there you can see in the color coding, but it's not all that different. We have not, you know, if you get an MPH and then go under a DRPH in these, roles, it's not that different as yet. Gender, there is a little more difference here. Does gender make a difference? What we see here is that the management finance kind of area, the advocacy area, and the biological and environmental applications area are a little higher for males. There's a significant drop in just in terms of their rankings, in terms of diversity and cultural proficiency and communication. But if you'll notice, you have to look at the relative, you're looking at the relative, you know, representations, as well as, you know, if you look at the specific ones, the actual scores are higher on the male side in general. But then again, we're probably getting a more restricted population of males because there are more females in the population. So we have to be careful in how we interpret that. But at this stage, does seem to be some difference. Here's the employment settings, and again, we've kind of color-coded this because you couldn't possibly read this table without the color coding. We've taken the averages off and just shown you the domains. Again, what you can see here is some consistency, especially around the highest rated items. There is greater consistency, and then it varies as the items get, to go down in terms of the rankings, which would be, you know, lower at the bottom of this. Things like program planning, the proficiency in diversity and cultural related tasks, and the management and finance task, little more variation across these particular patterns, these particular settings that individuals are in. But generally some consistency across the settings, which is interesting. The domains for the employment levels, some variation here. If you look, you can see that things like leadership are going up some across, if you look at just the bottom, the end, the last three categories, things are going up there. Collaborating and partnering goes up, interesting, whereas ethics goes down. I'm not sure exactly what that means. As I say, we're not going to interpret all of this at this point. And the diversity category goes down in terms of the importance ranking. Again, a lot more analysis is needing to draw conclusions about what that really means. But there are some differences here with regard to the level of activity or whether you're doing specialized work in the clinical or consultant areas. We have now begun doing a factor analysis in order to better understand those categories, those domains we were dealing with were conceptual, they were created conceptually, and now we've done a factor analysis to empirically see what we've found here. We've done a 16-factor open factor analysis and then a more restricted where we set the number at 10. We're going to focus on the 16. Again, these are the 16 factors. And what you can see here is that for some areas, there is a breakout in terms of subdivisions that seem very clear in terms of the work that people are doing, whereas in other areas, it doesn't break out so much. The way those tasks were put together in the domain seem to come out the same way in the factors. Tells us something about the nature of the way people saw their work in a little bit more detail and gives us an empirical reference. These are our next steps, more refined analysis. Obviously, we have to be doing that, and we have to be doing that with regard to what are the correlates. You saw a couple of correlates here, but more refined analysis, an analysis of the relationships. We began that with our factor analysis, and then we want to distribute the findings, which is what we've done today and in a variety of other meetings. And if you have questions, obviously many of us are happy to answer those. We put Allison's name up here, email address. She's the president of the NBPHE, and we'd be happy to answer your questions, but any of us would. So thank you very much. I know we've gone through this rapidly, but hopefully it gives you some idea of what we're trying to do.